Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to the Arsenal Weekly Podcast.
Mesut Ozil is in here. Beautiful goal. Walcott! What a goal! It's been flicked in by Alexis Sanchez. A quality goal from the Gunners.
Hello and welcome to the Arsenal Weekly Podcast for the week of Tuesday, the 11th of April. I'm your host, Russell Hargreaves. Coming up on this week's show, Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain constructs the perfect footballer. Look back at a memorable European semi-final in this week's history lesson. Adrian Clarke is back for another dose of the chalkboard. But we kick off by looking back at the weekend's action with Dan Roebuck and Nick Brumsack reunited in the weekend review.
When the match is over, they're still talking.
Roebuck, what are you doing?
What do you mean, what am I doing? What are you doing?
Sitting here at 8:45 waiting for you.
Well, you know.
Oh, get out.
It's the Weekend Review with Dan Roebuck and Nick Brumsack.
So, Nick Brumsack and Dan Roebuck join me on the Arsenal Weekly Podcast to take a look back at, let's call it, a mixed bag of a week. Gentlemen, good morning.
Morning.
Good morning, Ross.
We'll start with the good, I think. Let's go from the West Ham game and a good degree of positivity, particularly after the second half there. Dan, should we start with you?
Yeah, I think so. It was a good positive display. I mean, West Ham themselves, obviously, were in a poor form. They were in poor... they were putting in poor performances over the course of the previous few weeks. So Arsenal, big odds on to win that. And they did what Arsenal did. I thought it was a fine performance. I thought the goals were good. Giroud in particular, I thought his effort was probably the pick of the lot. And all in all, I think everybody came away from that game thinking, well, this is the start now of a traditional Arsenal late run between now and the end of the season to push for that top four, to show our ability, to show our class, and hopefully do what we've done so often, and that is get a run together and finish in the top four of the Premier League, even though we were still outsiders to do that. West Ham went pretty much to plan, as far as I'm concerned.
Hey, spot on with that Giroud goal. And, of course, Mesut Ozil has come in for some recent criticism. His goal, of course, setting the Gunners on their way. Let's have a little reminder.
Ozil onto Walcott. Pulls it back. Good covering by Snodgrass, but then not cleared very far. Bayer in. West Ham scramble it away. And then Ozil, it's in! Mesut Ozil scores! Darren Randolph will be disappointed, but Arsenal have the lead.
Mesut Ozil on target there. The boss saying that Ozil had taken that loss to Bayern particularly hard, and it's taken him a good while to come to terms and really get over it, Nick.
Yeah, that's right. And Mesut Ozil himself has said recently that that was a result that really disappointed him. But I think we did see signs of him getting back to somewhere near his best against West Ham. He took his goal well. It was a difficult one to save, wasn't it? Because it bounced just in front of Darren Randolph. And then having done that, of course, he then set up Theo Walcott's second after some really nice interplay with Alexis Sanchez, the like of which we haven't really seen enough in recent months or so. So I don't think it's just a question of Mesut Ozil taking that defeat heavily. I think it was, to be honest, the whole squad. I mean, I was out there in Munich, and it was just the way that the team really kind of collapsed in the second half, which just wasn't good enough, and it wasn't really what we're used to seeing from Arsenal this season up to that point. So I think it certainly took them some time to get over that, and that's shown in recent results, unfortunately.
And at that stage, in that round of games, with Liverpool and Manchester City dropping points and Arsenal winning 3-0, things were looking so much brighter. And then, all the more depressing, then the turnaround against Crystal Palace on Monday night. Obviously, I commentated on the game, as Dan, did you?
Yeah, it was very disappointing. First time that Arsenal hadn't scored in the Premier League since the 0-0 draw against Middlesbrough. That was back in October. Heaviest ever defeat at the hands of Crystal Palace, who seemed more focused. They seemed more passionate, more energised. They had a game plan. I thought it was an open game of football in the first 45 minutes, and I was quietly surprised. They didn't do a West Brom. I know that the possession stats have ended up being similar, but it's not as if they completely sat back. They had plenty of the ball. They created chances. And you always feel when a team plays like that, that Arsenal have got every chance of at least scoring, of at least dominating and creating opportunities. And I thought after they scored, that Arsenal's response would be key. And into the second half, we saw a flurry for the opening 5 or 6 minutes, but then nothing. Didn't register a shot on target in the second half, which was wholly disappointing. There were an awful lot of under par performances. Unfortunately, no one sparkled for Arsenal at all. And the most frustrating thing is, as we all know, is that we see these players, and this is the same group of players pretty much that we've seen over the last few years. They are talented individuals. We know how good they can be. You only got to look back to the early part of the season with the same group of players to remind ourselves what they can do, both defensively and, of course, going forward. But it was a poor display. There's nothing really we can say coming out of it to suggest that there's any sort of positivity around it. We've got to knuckle down between now and the end of the season. Top four seems very slim. I guess the interesting thing about the Europa League is that even if you finish seventh, because of the way the cup competitions have gone domestically in this country, you're going to get into the Europa League. You're going to have to miss by a mile rather than an inch to drop out of Europe. And I know an awful lot of supporters are saying, look, let's do a Chelsea. Chelsea finished, you know, way outside the European places last year. Arsenal are going to be in Europe one way or another. And incidentally, if Arsenal finish seventh, then they go into a third qualifying round of the Europa League, which is played either side of the Emirates Cup date. So I'm not quite sure how that's going to be affected. It's something obviously we'll hope to avoid. But yeah, all in all, a pretty poor night in South London.
Dan, appreciate your thoughts on that. Let's hear a little bit from the boss speaking post-match and where he felt the game was lost.
I felt we lost too many decisive duels at the start of the game, and after we came back into the game at 1-0 down and created some dangerous situations. I felt in the second half we couldn't push on, and in the end we lost too many duels that of course we paid for, and Crystal Palace was sharper in decisive moments in the game.
Arsene Wenger there, and Nick, obviously one of the big issues, as we've already heard briefly alluded to, is the away Premier League performances. Four defeats on the spin. I wonder why it's going so particularly wrong there.
Well, it's particularly concerning given that Arsenal's away form before then had been quite decent in the Premier League. Given a couple of defeats against Manchester City and Everton aside, Arsenal had actually been pretty decent in domestic games away from the Emirates. I think the important thing, though, now is just focusing on not looking back too much and just on putting it right. There's another away game, of course, coming up next Monday against Middlesbrough, and they quite simply have to win it. And I mean, Dan's just been speaking, hasn't he, about the Europa League, but looking at the table, if Arsenal can somehow turn this around, win both their games in hand, they're only 3 points behind Liverpool. And as we've seen in recent seasons, when it does come to the crunch, they have been able to get themselves into the top four. Of course, now, at the moment, it looks incredibly unrealistic given the way that the team is performing, given recent results, and given the fact that rivals don't seem to be dropping too many points. But with 8 matches left, 24 points to play for, there is really still a lot for these players to try and achieve this season. Of course, we all wanted to win the title. We all wanted to compete for honours. That's not going to happen, FA Cup aside. So let's just try and put things right as soon as possible. Start with a win at Riverside Stadium and then build from there and see what the end of the season brings.
Just picking up on what Nick was saying, and he's absolutely right, 24 points to play for. If you look back at last season, Manchester City managed to get a top four place with 66 points, I think it was. We're only 12 points behind that. Now, obviously, last season was something of an anomaly with Leicester winning the league and big teams taking points off each other and finishing way outside of the top four places. And if you try and assess how many points Arsenal will need to get to top four, and I'm not completely ruling it out because I don't think we can, and I'm sure that the boss isn't either, then from 54, if we can get 71, that's, you know, another 17 points from an available 24. Would that be enough? Maybe. Liverpool's running is easy than everybody else in the top six. Manchester City, I thought, were the team to target because I think their defence is quite poor. They've got some tough games coming up. But look, as Nick says, you've got to fight for every single point. It's got to start at Middlesbrough next week.
And gentlemen, let's just finish with the word fight. We've heard as well Arsene Wenger talking about losing key jewels in that Palace game, and I think just coming out and okay, there might be confidence issues, possibly quality issues in certain areas, but I just think that die-hard, really combative spirit and uniting is so key. I'll let you both just answer with that thought.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right, Russ. And I mean, you look at the games against West Brom and Crystal Palace, and you can comfortably say that in those games, the team were probably out-fought. And Theo Walcott said it himself after the Crystal Palace game. They wanted it more than us from the start. That's not really good enough for Arsenal. That's not an Arsenal performance. Theo Walcott, of course, said that himself on Monday night as well. So that is the key now. You go to Middlesbrough, it's another team who are fighting for every single point. They're really up against it. If they want to stay in the Premier League, you have to match them for application, for effort, for desire. And if you do that, let your quality do the talking. And the same goes for every other game until the end of the season. The home game against Leicester, of course, enjoying a bit of a resurgence under Craig Shakespeare before that North London derby against Tottenham at the end of the month. And I mean, you shouldn't need any sort of motivation to go into that, the last one at White Hart Lane, and then hopefully get a positive result there. And you've got three Premier League games left. Give everything in those and just try and finish as hard as you can.
Look, what I saw on the pitch after the game at the 90 minutes at Selhurst Park when we were looking at the Arsenal players, and I know one or two went over to the supporters and one or two of the supporters had a bit of a go back, but there was some expressions on the faces of a number of Arsenal players as they came off, and you know, Ross and Nick does as well, that the tunnel at Selhurst Park is in the corner, so they come towards where the press box is, and you know that the players are hurting. I know sometimes fans don't believe it, but the players are hurting at the moment. They will be doing everything that they possibly can to turn this around. There is fight in this Arsenal side. There is a togetherness as well. We saw it earlier this season. We saw it last season. Let's not forget, Arsenal lost five games in a seven-match spell between late February and mid-March. Going out of the FA Cup, going out of the Champions League. Before, we turned it around, we pulled it around. Yes, we were in a better position in the league, but we went on an unbeaten run. What was it, 9 games, 10 games in the end? Okay, a couple of draws thrown in, and that might not be enough for Champions League qualification. But what we can do between now and the end of the season is just regain that momentum, focus on the Middlesbrough game first and foremost. Some big games coming up. People are asking me about the Spurs game coming up. I have no doubt whatsoever that the Arsenal players will be fighting for their lives when it comes to that trip to White Hart Lane. Manchester United at the Emirates as well. I've never seen an Arsenal side at home lie down to Manchester United. There are opportunities for these players to stand up and be counted, and I am absolutely positive that they will do just that.
Redemption could be around the corner. Dan Roebuck, Nick Brumsack, as ever, appreciate your thoughts right here on the Arsenal Weekly Podcast. Always good to have you both on.
Thanks, Ross.
Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain is a player who's having a few more first-team opportunities of late and is certainly impressing when he gets those chances. We sat down with the Ox last week and tasked him with building the perfect footballer using the best attributes of all his current teammates.
Ox, welcome to the Arsenal Weekly Podcast. Good to have you here, mate. We are going to try building the perfect footballer using attributes from your teammates. So I've got 7 categories here. First one, heading. Whose heading ability would you want out of any of the lads in the team?
In the team now?
Yeah.
I'm not going to say a defender.
Oh, because Ox throws a curveball early.
I'm going to say Olivier Giroud. Hmm. Because if I could get myself in the box and score as many headers as him, it'd be quite handy. It'd be a nice tool to have in the armoury. So he's obviously one of the best that I've ever played with at doing it. And he proves it a lot, so I'd like to have Olivier's heading ability.
I doubt you're going to pick Olivier for the next one. Tackling.
Lauren Koscielny. I wouldn't pick Granit Xhaka either for that one. I'll go with Lauren Koscielny. He's the toughest person to get past 1v1, and you know, even when you think you've gone past him, he brings out some unorthodox tackles and finds a way of stopping you. And when it's there to be won and kick someone, he doesn't mind doing that either. He's a good tackler.
Does he let up in training at all,
no,
or does he
no,
have to
no.
stop you?
You know, if it's a 50-50 and Lauren's coming in, just let him have the ball. you just move out of the way for him, because it usually will end up with a kick and a trip to the physio room after training. But that's why he's a good defender.
How about first touch? And this is an interesting one. You've got a lot of people to pick from here.
I'd say Mesut.
Go on then, a bit more.
Why
Mesut? I don't know. Who's it up against?
Between Mesut, Santi, and probably Alexis as well. Alexis is really good at controlling the ball quite weirdly. Like, he has his own, like, he controls it on his head or his chest in weird ways, and it's quite clever with his, and inventive with his first touches to create himself an opportunity to shoot. Mesut is just so relaxed when you give him the ball. It's like he has his own, he can control balls and go past you with his first touch at his own speed, and people may not, I guess they are, everyone knows he's a great player, but when you're a player yourself and you see the things he does, it looks so simple, but it's near on impossible to do.
The optics are funny with Mesut, isn't it? He kind of looks like he's not trying sometimes, but he's just breezing past you.
Yeah, that's just the way he plays, and you know, that's when he picks out an unbelievable pass or an assist. He can do that because he plays the game with so much time in his own mind. So, you know, when people look and think that maybe he's not ratting around quick enough, you know, they won't be complaining when he picks out an unbelievable pass, which he probably wouldn't be able to do if he was ratting around. You know, some people that are good at harrying around and sprinting around, they can't do the things Mesut can do. And likewise, Mesut might not be so good at doing that part of the game, you know.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
It's why everyone's has their own style of play, and that's just the way Mesut plays. And he's one of the most hard-working players in our team, and I'll always say that. You know, when we get all our stats back, Mesut's always top. He's always right up there, top three every single game, and it's quite frustrating, really, when I see people don't realise that, and they think that, you know, I hear sometimes people saying he's lazy. He does the most running for a midfield player in behind. Every time we get the ball, he's sprinting over the top, and he does it all game, every game. And we get the stats, so we see it. And Santi, he's got 2 feet, just as good as each other. Right foot, left foot, it doesn't matter. His first touches, top with both feet. And it doesn't matter how you give him the ball, you can smash it at him. He pulls out the sky. He's special, Santi. Santi's special little man, isn't he?
he's the man, Santi, man. Isn't he? You miss playing with him?
I do, yeah. I think we all miss playing with Santi. He always adds a little bit of spice to the game and a bit of magic every now and again, or quite often. So we definitely miss Santi.
He's cool. Passing? You kind of alluded to it. Is it going to be Mesut?
Mesut, yeah. But I'd also put Granit Xhaka in there as well. He's one of the best passers for sure I've ever played with. You know, he's very confident with his passing, and as a midfielder, sometimes the way we like to play, we play balls through the lines in between their midfielders and their defenders. Sometimes you have to find small gaps to really pass them into, and he's really confident at doing that and backs himself and pulls them off a lot. And his long range passing is top as well. I've seen stats for how many long balls he completes as well, which is not an easy thing to do, and his stats are amazing for that. So Granit's definitely, you know, he's like, I always say he's like the quarterback. He's like Tom Brady, you know, you just give him the ball and he'll just start things off and set things away with the way he passes it. So I'd put him in there.
How about left foot?
Left foot, again, Granit and Mesut, obviously.
You've got to pick one.
I've got to pick one, have I?
Did you pick Mesut for passing, or were you leaning towards Granit?
I'm going to pick Granit for passing.
So left foot then?
I'm going to go Mesut for left foot.
Well divvied up, fair.
Yeah?
Yeah, fair. Nice.
Give them both a bit of love there.
How about right foot?
Right foot. Right foot is never quite as sexy as the left foot, as well.
Nah, it's like, boring,
it
isn't it?
It doesn't look as nice as when they kick the ball. Right foot.
What is Santi, by the way? Have you found out?
Santi's... He doesn't have a right or a left, he just has a foot. They just both work the same. Right foot. Ooh. Alexis has got a really good right foot.
You're not a contender?
I'd like to put myself as a contender. I think I've got quite a good shot. When we do shooting with the lads, I've got quite a venomous strike at times. I need to bring it out in the game a bit. I think now I'm in midfield, playing the midfield a little bit more, and I might have a few more opportunities to let fly from outside the box, so stay tuned, could be coming out soon. I'll put myself in there, yeah. I'm going to back myself for right foot, so I've got to put Santi back in there as well, though, otherwise it's not realistic if I don't.
Oh, what, so you're putting Santi back in at right foot and taking yourself out?
No, I'm going to put him up there. I'm just going to say his name because he deserves to be in there. Any sort of technical aspect, Santi's got to come in there.
All right, we'll put Santi as B, you as A, him as B then. Last one, leadership.
Leadership, Per Mertesacker. I think he's a really good all-round captain. And obviously I think he's shown how I don't know what the word is, selfless he's been this season. Obviously since he's had a bad injury, he's come back, and obviously he's not in the team at the moment, but he's always on his duties, you know, off the pitch, even went through his injury, making sure that, you know, that the team is keeping up the standards in training, off the pitch, you know, meetings, whatever. Per's always pushing us to be the best we can be. And obviously with what he's achieved in his career, he's not short of giving his wisdom off to everyone around him. But he does it in an amazing way where he's got, you know, everyone's close with him. The youngest players in the team, he spends time with them, and you know, he has his own jokes with them and the older boys as well. I think he's got that massive respect from all the boys, and he does it in a really good way that you want to listen to him no matter when he wants to speak to you or what he wants to say. You always respect him and listen to him, and he's been a really good leader ever since I've played with him, for sure.
And it's Adams, put through by Bold. Would you believe it? Or Charlie George, who can hit him. Oh, a great goal!
It's up for grabs now! Thomas! Right at the end!
On the 12th of April 1994, Arsenal beat Paris Saint-Germain by a goal to nil in the second leg of their European Cup Winners' Cup semi-final at Highbury.
Smith. Dixon. Looking to measure up across, gets one in. It's a goal there! It's Kevin Campbell! A super start for Arsenal!
What a magnificent ball from Lee Dixon. I mean, we talk about the quality of crossing, look at this.
And the keeper caught out of the near post a little bit here.
Kevin Campbell unmarked, picks the only spot that would have got him a goal. The keeper's very unlucky there, Lam. A great attempt, but a magnificent cross and a great finish there.
That memorable win confirmed a 2-1 aggregate victory, securing the Gunners a place in that season's final, which they famously won against Parma. All of that courtesy of Alan Smith's first half strike.
Dixon. Dixon again. That's a Minotti with the acrobatics. It falls to Smith. Oh! A superb goal for Alan Smith! Just what Arsenal wanted. And Smith, who's laboured for so long, really, in the past couple of years in the shadows of Ian Wright when it comes to goal scoring, no Wright tonight. Smith seizes the opportunity. And that's football for you. Brolin hits the inside of the post, it stays out. Smith does, it goes in, and Arsenal are in front.
We'll have another history lesson for you next week, but now it's time to talk to Adrian Clark at the Chalkboard.
The Chalkboard with Adrian Clark.
Well, Adrian Clark now joins me at the Chalkboard. Clarky, good morning, and I guess not the best of mornings, sadly, for Arsenal fans.
Hello, Russ. Yeah, no, you don't catch me in a cheery mood. I think I'm feeling like every other Arsenal supporter at the moment. It's utterly miserable. Yeah, I'm not even sure I like football anymore after that defeat to Crystal Palace. It's one of those where you just, yeah, you feel really downhearted. But look, onwards and upwards, you've got to bounce back from these disappointments.
And that, of course, all begins Monday evening. So a full 7-day turnaround for Arsenal, at least, as they prepare to take on a Middlesbrough team who are staring relegation right in the face, aren't they?
Well, they are, yeah. I think Middlesbrough are down, to be perfectly honest. So I don't think they've got any chance of surviving. They changed their manager, but I think they changed their manager too late for their point of view. They just haven't scored anywhere near enough goals. And because of that, it's applied too much pressure to the back four and to the midfield that protects them. And ultimately, they haven't quite been good enough. As for Arsenal, having that 7 days in between, having to wait another full weekend, not ideal, I would suggest, because the training ground, having played for teams when we've been on a rotten run, it's not nice. It's not nice on the training ground. You're very tetchy. You just want to get on with it. You want to put things right. So I'd imagine that, yeah, London Colney, there'll be a lot of testosterone flying around there this week. And hopefully the players will be able to use that pent-up frustration at the Riverside and put in a much improved performance.
Now, what would you assess as Borough's strength at the moment? I mean, defensively, they've generally been fairly tight, but because of the lack of goals at the other end, it's on the whole not been enough, has it?
No, it's not been enough, no. The strength is being organised, and they're not that easy to break down. I think they've got a lot of industry in the middle of the park. Whoever plays there tends to get around the pitch. They dog around, they break up play quite effectively. I like Ben Gibson. He's not the finished article, but he's a centre-half of promise. He puts in a lot of blocks, he wins a lot of headers. And I actually think Victor Valdez, he's had the odd poor match where he's given goals away, but he's had a decent season. He's a quality shot stopper. So, yeah, I'd say that their success stories this season are at the back. And they proved that, didn't they, with the draw at Emirates Stadium earlier on in the season. So they'll be looking for the same again.
What would you say then is a key head-to-head battleground for you, given what's obviously happened to the Gunners?
Well, I think you have to look at what's just happened at Selhurst Park. And all eyes are on the centre-backs. First of all, I wonder if the manager will make a change there with Mustafi and Gabriel. I don't think either covered themselves in glory against Crystal Palace. So it'll be fascinating to see if Per Mertesacker is given a recall or potentially Rob Holding as well. Whoever plays centre-half, the key battle will be their duel with Gusted. I think Gusted will play in this game because of his aerial threat. Arsenal have to handle it. They really do. And if they do handle it, they should be much better.
Now, I've deliberately withheld our question on the Chalkboard till now because it fits in with that exact question, because we've talked about key battle areas, but what formation change would you employ to stop Arsenal's poor run, and how could that therefore help that battle situation?
Well, first and foremost, I don't think Arsenal's poor run is solely down to the system or the shape. I think there are a number of factors. The main factor is that too many players are not in good form at the moment, and that's going to affect any team. There are other issues, of course, outstanding. It'd probably be too long for me to go into here. But in terms of the shape, yes, I've been an advocate. I've been mentioning this on the podcast, on the break. Well, not the breakdown, but I've mentioned it a few times. I'd like to see a three-man engine room. I'd like to see that given a try, because sometimes it feels as if the two guys we have in there don't offer enough protection, or they're unable to. So for me, it would suit Arsenal to have a solid three-man engine room. And that means, I guess, moving Mesut Ozil into a different role. I would like to see a 4-3-2-1 formation used. And that would be with, you know, three orthodox midfielders, Mesut Ozil and one other in behind Alexis, because I do think that Alexis is our best bet up top.
And in a sentence, moving back on to the next game, how do you beat Middlesbrough?
Well, you beat Middlesbrough in this game by showing much more fight. It's all about attitude in this game, and Arsenal have to put right the wrongs of that Crystal Palace defeat. It all boils down to their mentality.
Okay, that's how that one all stands. From that to our ongoing prediction competition, Clarkie, it's been close, it's been compelling, you've drawn back level, and I'm delighted to say we're now joined on the line by the Arsenal Weekly podcast editor Liam Roberts.
And I'm in the studio this week and you guys aren't, so I decided to come back to work and you've decided not to.
I just found a better studio to do it from, sorry.
Yeah, I just can't face it, Liam. I can't, I'm afraid.
Yeah, we will meet up one more time this season, I promise.
Oh, go on then.
So last week, it all revolved around Olivier Giroud. We wanted to know how many minutes he'd play in the two games. Do you guys remember what you said?
I think I thought he'd be a sub in one and start one. So I went around, was it 80, 85?
You said 84, that's right.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that I said it'd be two substitute appearances. So yeah, I don't know, yeah. 50 odd, I'd imagine, yeah.
Yeah, you said 55, and it was actually 54. So Adrian was 1 minute out. Unbelievable guess.
Unfortunately, what else, only... put a smile on my face. I'll tell you what will make a bigger smile if you tell me that's a 3-point haul.
No, I can't bring myself to do that, I'm afraid. Can't bring myself.
Not quite perfection, is it? It's close.
No,
it's
exactly,
close.
Yeah,
seriously.
I always
seriously.
Say the exact result, and it's not the exact result, I'm afraid. So 1 point. So it puts you into the lead. Consolation, it puts you into the lead.
I was worried then.
I'll be honest, I'm not happy. Right, let's move on.
It's the first time you've been in the lead for about 4 months, so I'd take it if I was you.
I'm choking up here. Just let's crack on.
I'm just going to keep quiet and lick my wounds and move on, absolutely.
Cool, so Adrian, you'll be first this week, so you've got another slight advantage. We're going to revisit a question I asked earlier in the season because I enjoyed it. It's which Arsenal player will touch the ball first in the game against Middlesbrough?
Yeah, right. Okay, you're right. It's part of luck, isn't it? Who's going to kick off? Let's go. I think Middlesbrough kick off and they're going to boot it towards the left back, and Nacho Monreal is going to head it out of play. That's my prediction.
Okay, Nacho Monreal for you.
I think that just full of fire and galvanisation to take the situation by the horns, I'm going to say Alexis Sanchez with fire in his belly.
Okay, so Alexis for you, Nacho Monreal for Adrian. We'll be back next Tuesday with the results.
Liam, thank you very much indeed. Plenty more from Liam and, of course, from the brilliant Adrian Clark coming up. And Clarkie, when can we hear or see you again?
I will be back in the Matchday Show studio for the Middlesbrough game. So, yeah, I'm hoping it'll be a thoroughly more pleasant evening all round.
Top stuff. Thank you very much. That's full time on this week's show. Our thanks to Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain, to Dan Roebuck and Nick Brumsack, and of course to Adrian Clark for their contributions today. Don't forget you can subscribe on iTunes, leaving us a 5-star review in the process. You can find us on Acast these days as well, so you've never got the excuse to miss another episode. We're back on Tuesday the 18th of April after that Middlesbrough game, and until then, it's bye for now, and come on you Gunners!
The Arsenal Weekly Podcast.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.